Renee, I believe you have a special for us this morning.
I've sung this once before, so I thought I'd give it another try.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am. I need to know. Ooh, oh, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. Say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short, but I don't belong. You say I'm yours, and I believe. I believe. What you say of me, I believe. Taking all I have and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God. You have every victory. Whoa. You say I am loved. You and I can feel a thing. You say I am strong.
You say of me. John's down for scripture reading this morning, but he thinks he's preaching. He said he's got the whole chapter.
Matthew chapter 10. Jesus sends out the 12. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave him authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter into any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The King of Heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but kills the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward.
If you have a need this morning, just mind. Oh. Thank you, John. That is a lengthy passage of Scripture, but it's all one pericope. It's all one pericope. It's all one speech. It's all one teaching. Christ is keeping all of this, passing this on to his disciples. We start out there with the names of the disciples being given. Up to this point, we had only heard of like four or six of the disciples that he had chosen. Now they're all listed here and given, and they're given in the order that they were called by Christ. And, you know, the names, some of them have both Greek and Hebrew names given. But these are the 12 disciples. Now, everybody in here had all those names memorized before we read that this morning, right? And now you have them all memorized for sure, right? Yeah, I remember as a kid, that was one of the things we were supposed to do, was to memorize the names of the 12 apostles, disciples. Of course, we were also supposed to memorize scriptures and... You know, when you're young, you have a memory. Now, I walk in a room sometimes and wonder, what did I come in here for? Yeah, and Bob says, just wait. It
doesn't get any better.
So, Jesus is speaking here. For those of you who have red letter edition, we can see all of the red. Most of this chapter is Jesus teaching. It's instructions that he's giving to the 12. And he's sending them out to go and minister. Now, this is important, folks. Just the idea that Jesus is sending the disciples out. They've had a chance to be with him for a short period of time. But nonetheless, they've had a time to be with him, to learn from him, to see the miracles that he had performed. And all of these different things, they've learned directly from him, sitting around the table, sitting around the house, sitting outside, maybe around a campfire. And Jesus just teaching them, them asking questions and him answering. I mean, can you imagine having that opportunity to sit down one-on-one with Jesus and just ask all of your questions and get all the answers you want? I mean, that's going to happen, folks. When we get to heaven, we get to sit down with Jesus and we can ask him anything we want, and he'll answer it. There'll be a lot of things that we won't need to ask anymore because we'll all automatically understand a lot more than we do now, but there will be things that we will want to ask. There'll be things I want to ask Paul. There'll be things I want to ask Peter. And we get to do all of that. But he sends them out and says, do not go to the Gentiles. Why? Well, the Gentiles were going to be included, but after Jesus had died and resurrected. He says over and over and over and over, I came to my people, Israel. He came only for the Israelites. Why? Because the Israelites are the chosen people of God. They are the ones that had been carrying the word of God for all of these years. They failed many times. God disciplined them many times. Nonetheless, he did not say at any point, you're not my people anymore. I think there's a lesson in that for us, right? They failed. He disciplined them, but he never said, "You're not mine anymore." Huh? Imagine that. And these chosen people, the Hebrews, the Jews, as we know them today, are sent the first opportunity to hear the gospel. To the Jew first, then to the Gentile, right? Isn't that what it says over and over? To the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. But the Gentiles, we, are included. He says, "Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, why does that matter, that the kingdom of heaven has come near? Well, it matters because if you want to go to heaven, you got to do something, right? It's not automatic, not just because you're a Jew or not just because your parents were Christians and your great-grandparents were Christian and it passed down to you. No, it doesn't work that way. It matters that the kingdom of heaven is near. What he's saying is time is getting shorter. Time is getting shorter. He's not just saying the presence of heaven has come near, which is true. That is also true. But what he's also implying is time is short. How many of us know exactly when we're going to die? It could be today, right? Time may be shorter for some than others. We don't know. You know, we're not given that as a general rule. There are people, there are exceptions. People have been told when they're going to die. But as a general rule, most of us don't know. And so we should live every day as if it's our last. Because it could very well be. If you knew today was going to be your last day, is there anything you would like to set right? Anything that you would like to change before you face God? Think about that. He told them to preach, to proclaim the message, kingdom of heaven is near. Then he says to do all these miracles, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You have the proclamation, and then you have the demonstration of the power of God. The proclamation, telling the truth of the message of God, then the demonstration of the power of God, proving that the message came directly from the mouth of God. Who else could do all those miracles? Only God. Why would Satan want to make you better? Why would Satan want to save you? Satan does some false miracles sometimes. Sometimes he will exchange one evil for another, but you don't get rid of all evil. Only through Christ can you be cleansed of all. He says, freely give, freely you've received. What he's saying there is, I give you this message. You go out and give this message the way that you received it. I didn't charge you for it. You don't charge anybody else for it. Now, that's not saying that the minister doesn't get paid, because that's what he goes on to talk about. But you're not paying the minister for the message. In fact, one commentary I read, one minister of old who was also a theologian, he said, honestly, he said, it's wrong for anyone to say they pay the minister. He said, they give him a gift. They give the minister a gift to help him get by for the services that he's doing, because he gave up his life to serve you for Christ. But when you start talking about paying a minister, you got to be careful, because then the minister may think he has to preach what you want to hear, because you pay. You control what he says, what he does, because you pay him. But if you just give him a gift, then he's free to preach the gospel. Of course, when you're like me and you don't get paid at all, you're really free to give the gospel. And he says, don't get any gold or silver or copper to take with you. in your money belts, no bag of clothes, no journey extra. He's saying you don't need to worry about what you're going to take with you. You don't need to worry about your sustenance. Why? Because the worker is worthy of his pay. In other words, these people are going out, and from their heart and from the Lord, they've been called by God and sent by God to go out and to share with you the truth of the gospel. So these people in turn are accountable for showing hospitality, taking care of God's man, of God's people. They go out to teach and to preach the truth in love. And in that showing that love, he says, when you go into someone, when you go into a town, find someone who's willing to receive you. In other words, someone who wants to receive Christ, someone who wants to become a believer or already is a believer. Stay in their house, the first person who receives you. That way, people aren't going to get their feelings hurt and say, well, you never came to my house and ate. You never came and stayed at my house. Why didn't you stay? Well, because we only stayed at the first place we went. And that saves a lot of competition and a lot of arguments. You know, a preacher one time, a long time ago, an old preacher told me, he said, you know, one time the ladies at the church all baked some food for a get-together. And afterwards they asked me which was the best. And he said, boy, you talk about being put in a spot. He said, there is no best, ladies. It's all the best. And I said, I understand that. You better say that. But sometimes people want to ask questions that are not prudent. And so we have to come up with answers that work for everybody's benefit. But he tells them, if your peace, leave your peace in that home. In other words, when you come in, the Holy Spirit was on these apostles, on these disciples in power. And so they were able, wherever they went, because the Holy Spirit was so strong on them, wherever they went, the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding, went with them. And even if this husband and wife may have been bickering before, after the man of God comes in and this peace settles over the house, there's a truce, temporarily at least, but there's a truce that comes. And so he says, if the house is worthy, let that peace stay there. But if it's not, bring it with you. In other words, if these people are true believers, if they're trying to do what's right, then go ahead and let that peace stay over that home. You ever heard anybody talking about blessing a home? That's what he's talking about here, folks. That's what he's talking about, blessing somebody's home with peace. Runs off all the evil spirits, all the demons that would want to attack and to bring temptation to fight and argue and bicker. Instead, have the Spirit of God in your home. Have the Spirit of God in your home. And let that peace rest there. And if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Now, this is something, folks, that we have dealt with over and over again in different ministries I have in different places. People always want to know, you know, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or so-and-so down the road who's not a Christian, I've tried and tried and tried to get them to convert and become a Christian, and they just won't hear me. In fact, they won't even listen to me. They tell me, shut up, shut the door in my face. What's God say to do about that? Shake the dust off your feet. It's a form of judgment. They have, by their own words, by their own choice, said, I don't want Jesus. Jesus says, move on. Move on. Don't make that a lifetime project, folks. Because all the people that are over here that would hear and receive the gospel and become Christians, you're going to miss because you're hung up on this one person. That's a trick of the devil, folks, to take one person and make them your mission in life to convert them. I can't convert anyone. You can't convert anyone. What we can do is present the gospel to them. It's up to them to receive it or to reject it. If they reject it, all we can do is pray for them. You know, there are people who, if you keep after them with the gospel, they will reject it just because you keep hassling them with it. They get mad. They get upset. I told you I don't want to hear this. I told you I don't believe that. Leave me alone. Anybody in here besides me ever heard that? People get tired of it. Once they've made their mind up, you're not going to change it. I'm not going to change it. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's why prayer is important. But we need to respect their wishes. If they don't want to hear it, leave them alone. And that's what Jesus says right here. Shake the dust off your feet. Move on. Find someone who does want to receive the truth. And he says, truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town or that home or that person. Why? Because Jesus hadn't come yet when Sodom and Gomorrah received their judgment. But if he had come, they may have accepted him and converted. But these people, even hearing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, still will not hear the truth. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Huh. Did you ever get out there in the world someplace, maybe in the workplace or out in the mall while you're shopping or something, and you say something about Jesus, and all of a sudden it seems like there's a vacuum in the place around you? Everybody's like, Jesus, don't say that word. It amazes me that in our society that is, we are a Christian nation, folks. I don't care what, you know, any past president may have said. We are a Christian nation. Our laws are based on the Bible. Everything about this nation was built from principles of the Bible, Christian principles. We are a Christian nation. And the devil has tried to make it to where we have become a polytheist nation. In other words, there's many gods represented in our nation now. Many gods. There's big lumps of people that worship Buddha. There's big lumps of people that worship Allah. There's big lumps of people that worship this god and that god and the other god. Then there's the biggest group of all is the people who worship self. And money and power and position. All of these things are deceptions that people believe. Well, you know, if I can get this job that pays me over $100,000 a year, and then I can get this house and this car, and then I'll be happy. And they get all that, and then they think, why ain't I happy? Because things can't make you happy, folks. Things will never make you happy. Power, position, none of those things can ever make you happy. The only thing that can give us joy in our life is Jesus. Jesus is the only peace that we can have when the storm is raging all around us. That's why he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Now, how are snakes shrewd? Have you ever noticed that when there's a poisonous snake around, there's always another one? There'll be one here and one over here someplace you don't know about. You see this one, this one comes up, gets you. But they wait for that right moment when your back is turned. That's when they get you, mostly. Not always. Some of them will face you head on and they get you before you can get out of the way. Snakes are shrewd. Doves, innocent as doves. Doves can't hurt much of anything. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. We know that the disciples went through that very thing. At this point, that had not happened. So Jesus was prophesying. He was telling them ahead of time, this will happen to you. And we know for a fact that it did happen to them. They were whipped. They were beat. They were killed for their faith. But they did not change their minds and say, well, I lied. None of this really happened. That's a pretty good indication that when someone is dying for what they believe and what they have been telling is the truth, if they're willing to die for it, that's a pretty good indication it's true. Most people are not going to die for a lie. They'll fess up at the last minute. And they may die anyway, but at least they tell the truth. He says, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You know, Paul was a well-educated man, but he was no attorney. He was not a lawyer. He was a theologian. And when he stood in the court, they had a lawyer, a man who was well-educated in the rules of speech and law, and he started making these accusations against Paul. And Paul stood and spoke just as eloquently as this man and told exactly the truth and pointed out that what this man was saying was not all true and that it could be proven to be false. And he told the judge, the king, about Jesus. He boldly proclaimed the gospel right there, which is what he was on trial for. Why did he do that? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was using him as a vessel to let the gospel be heard in more places. And he will do that through you as well as through me when we are willing vessels and we listen and allow him to use us. He goes on to say, brother will betray brother to death and father his child. Children will have rebel against their parents. All of this turmoil going on. That's a quote from Micah chapter 7, I believe, verse 6. And this is the very root of what causes many, many problems. A person in a family, let's say we have a child that starts coming here with somebody, and that child decides to become a Christian. Well, all of a sudden, the church has a problem with that child's parents. Why? I wouldn't become old Christian. Now they're coming home preaching to me all the time, telling me I shouldn't be drinking beer. This is what this is talking about. It's not nearly as rough for us in America as it is for others in other countries. I've read story after story after story about Muslims who converted to Christianity and their parents either killed them or hired someone to kill them, and they're still on the run. In fact, the speaker, the guest speaker we're having here next Sunday, was a Muslim, converted to Christianity, and they're still jihadists out after him. They would still kill him if they can catch up with him. They killed him once, and he came back to life. So you'll get to hear all of that testimony next week. Herman will interpret for us because he doesn't speak English. He can say, hello, God bless you, hallelujah. That's his English. We got to pray with him a couple of days this week. Dominguez Kinjam, and he will be here next Sunday to share that testimony. So bring somebody with you. It ought to be powerful. But this, all of this uproar is because people accept Christ and their life changes. Your life changes, and then the same old people you used to run around with, they don't want to hear this anymore. You coming around and not talking the same way you used to talk, not doing the same things you used to do. And they get tired of that. And they say, wait a minute here, what happened to you? I don't want to hear all this stuff about Jesus. And it stirs up a hornet's nest is what it does. Why? Because people feel condemned when the presence of the Holy Spirit is working. People feel condemned who are not Christian. Their sins become revealed to them and they feel guilty. But he says, don't be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. When I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Don't worry about what they think. Just go ahead and share the gospel anyway. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, I'll tell you who to be afraid of. Be afraid of God. Be afraid of God, because not only can he have your body killed, but he can also send your soul to hell. That's who we should fear. I wonder, do we fear God more than we fear our fellow man? When's the last time that you tried to worship somebody but you got afraid? Afraid that they wouldn't accept it, or afraid that, you know, you might offend them, or afraid that they might get mad and never speak to you again. That's being more afraid of man than God. Because he goes on there to say that if you deny me before men, I'll deny you in heaven. Folks, we don't want that. We do not want to be denied in heaven because we denied him here. This is primarily talking about the time when, you know, like Dominguez, who's going to be here next week, he was 19 at the time, folks, and hadn't been a Christian for a long time. And he was at a Bible college class, and the Muslims come in, broke it all up, and they put him on his knees. The guy's standing here with a sword. And he said, denounce Christ and I'll let you live. And he said, no. Cut his neck almost completely off. You can see the scar. Now he preaches the gospel. Now he preaches the gospel, folks. Jesus has a way. When we stand with him and for him, he stands with and for us. But if we stand against him, look out. Look out. I've shared before in my testimony, when I was a young man, 19 years old, 20 years old, in the Navy, and the Lord came to me when I was on the ship. I was on the back of the ship. I was watching the lights glimmer on the water. It was a warm summer evening. It was beautiful. And I hear this voice calling my name. And I looked, couldn't find anybody. That happened three times. Finally, I figured out it was God. And he told me he wanted me to teach his word. And I said, I can't do that. I don't even know your word. And he said, I'll give you what you need when you need it. Don't worry about it. You'll learn. And I said, I can't do that. He said, you can't or you won't. I said, I won't do that. You see who won, right? It's foolish to fight against God. It cost me a lot. That cost me a lot. and a lot of years wasted. 18 years before I submitted. And in that time, I did a lot of stupid. A lot of stupid. And it still impacts my life to this day, all that stupid that I got involved in fighting against God. It's just not smart. He says, fear him who can not only kill the body or cause you torment, but fear him who can also control what happens to your soul. If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing, Brother Bob.